And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, tell you what, let me do this. I'll go ahead and take a phone call real quick. I see somebody's been waiting on the line. I want to honor their time. So let me just jump over there. Line one, Carthy from Athens. How you doing today?
Doing well. I'll try to be brief. I'm from a family of teachers, although I'm a black sheep because I didn't become one. I know that teachers are kind of taking a beating because they get blamed for a lot of things, but so many of them are going into administration or just changing careers because the classroom has gotten difficult.
Hey, Cart.
One aid. I'm sorry.
Can you hear us now? You lost your signal there for a second. You said they're going into administration, and then you kind of broke up a little bit.
Okay, going into administration or just leaving the field altogether because it's hard. Sometimes there are kids who need their own aid.
Well, Carthy, I tell you what, man, we've lost your signal to the point that we can't even understand what you're saying, but I appreciate you holding. Wow, that's a shame. I'd like to have heard that. And I appreciate what he's trying to say, that there are folks that are getting disenfranchised with the career path they thought they had chosen. But that happens. And Carthy, Boomer wanted me to point out, you can text your response in if you can, 833-687-4448. Same number you called, you can text it. And if we can get your comment in, we'll read it on the air. But, I mean, I get it. It can be frustrating. It's that way in every career field. It's not just teaching. Every career field, banking. I mean, practicing law. You got being a doctor. I mean, I know people that are what we call second winders, left and right, who find a different career late in their life, even though they've done something for years. I know other folks who start. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a classic example. A lot of folks don't realize my undergraduate degree is in sports medicine. Go figure. How many ankles have I taped since and injuries have I treated since high school? Not many. I'm a lawyer now and with a radio show. Go figure. But yeah. Anyway, I'll tell you what, let me move on to that. I got some text messages here I'll read real quick. If I can get to them, let's see. Carolyn from Madison says, when it comes to budgeting extra money to teach teachers how to teach math, is the purpose really teaching math or teaching the teachers how to use these screwy new methods they must insist be used to teach students? I don't disagree with that, Carolyn. I mean, I have seen the mental machinations people have to go through to use the new style of math to get the same numbers they've always gotten by saying 2 and 2 is 4. You got to prove something about the, you know, the color of the sky and, you know, how fast the grass can grow and whatever. And next thing you know, you got 4. But it shouldn't have to be that way. What else we got? Ben from Decatur says 2.5 GPA. He's talking about those standards that were set for teacher certification. Yeah, 2.5 GPA is a C average. He says, that's crazy for teacher certification. Wow. Well, that's your state school board setting the standard, though, bud. I don't disagree with your assessment. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, Pocahontas was a Harvard professor. I bet you even money she couldn't pass it if she took the test. I won't take that bet, Jeff. I won't. I won't at all. What else here? We got quite a few. All right, listen. Tell you what, before I go to the break, let me just tell you this, too. It's almost go-home time. It is important that some of y'all are thinking, hey, Saturday morning, something different. Something like, it's game day. We're going, maybe you got to watch the kids' soccer. You're going down to Tuscaloosa to watch the game or whatever. And you're thinking, I want breakfast. I got time, but I don't want the biscuit drive-through. Or maybe you just don't want to mess up the kitchen. You want something better than that. So how about Just Love Coffee Cafe? Just Love Coffee Cafe. Get yourself some waffles. Get you a womlet. It's a giant omelet cooked in a waffle iron with everything, including tater tots, in the omelet. It's amazing. How about all of this and more on a menu that where you can also get the big cappuccino or the espresso or just some freshly ground medium roast award-winning coffees? Just Love Coffee Cafe. Got great environment, great people, great food, and a great Saturday morning. So check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, 2 locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. I guarantee you'll enjoy it. And do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And there's the music. How was that for timing, Boomer? as if I had planned it, which kind of did, but, you know, I love it when it works out. All right, folks, coming right back for the last half hour. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I mean, this show is blanketing the northern half of the state. We got down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, before I go any further, I got to tell you, you hear me talk about my friends at Riley & Jackson Law Firm. And when I say they're my friends, I mean that with all sincerity. I know those guys personally. I've worked with them before. We have collaborated on working on some issues before. And I really do think that they are a quality group of folks. Riley and Jackson, they've been working for decades to make people whole because of the negligence of others. And they will provide you, by the way, when you call them, you're not going to get a call center. You're going to have somebody who is knowledgeable and capable to help you with your issues and set up a time to meet with you so they can go over them. Now, listen, one of the things that they're working on right now, too, is this Camp Lejeune water contamination thing. So when I started hearing all this, I key in on veterans' issues. I thought, what in the world? Commercials are suddenly everywhere. Well, I called my friends at Riley & Jackson because I heard they had like five lawyers working on this. And they said, Phil, it's legit, man. Guaranteed. It was proven water contamination, 19 different illnesses attributed to it. And so here's the deal. If you were there between 1953 and 1987, 1953 to 87, that's a big window of time. If you were there as a trainee, a dependent, or a permanent duty station service member, doesn't matter. Call them at Riley & Jackson. They may find that you are eligible for a claim if you've suffered any of the illnesses that could be attributed to this water contamination. Here's their number, Riley & Jackson, 205-879-5000. That's Riley & Jackson, 205-879-5000. And by the way, I know these folks quite well. I can tell you they're not just right on the law. They are right on politics, too, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, Riley & Jackson, 205-879-5000. Tell them you heard about it on the Right Side Radio. And here's a thing I got to do. I got to do it. You ready? Here we go. No representation made the quality of legal service before was greater than the quality of legal service before by other lawyers. I'm going to say that was a record breaker. You weren't timing it. If you'd been timing it, we would know.
That would have been a record.
That would have been a record. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that at 4:37 p.m. on October the 21st, I set a record.
I mean, I was watching the little clock up here.
Yeah, come on.
But it doesn't have those small little digits.
Okay. All right. Let me move back to my topic at hand. Number three on the Triple Dipper, buying votes and buying friends and voters is what I've called it. So Biden gave a speech today. Yeah. He gave a speech today. And, you know, he went and it literally said on CNN, you know, sometimes they say stuff out loud. Well, today was one of those days. CNN had the banner at the bottom of the screen that said, literally, it said, Biden gives speech on student loan bailout to students in effort to win young voters. What does that tell you? This is a pandering opportunity to give away stuff from the government in order to try and buy votes and win friends. I mean, it's just unreal. You talk about pandering. October 17th, this is what, 4 days ago, National Review had a piece that says, Biden slams the GOP outrage over his illegal student loan wipeout, calls them wrong and hypocritical. In a Monday speech announcing the official launch of the federal student loan cancellation application portal, President Biden slammed the GOP for its resistance to the program, which Republicans have argued is illegal and carries a massive price tag. Republican elected officials, particularly governors, are doing everything they can to deny this federal aid to eliminate some student debt, he claimed. Their outrage is wrong and hypocritical. I will never apologize for helping middle-class Americans. Now, let me do it the right way. I will never apologize for helping middle-class Americans. All right, but here's my answer to that. You're not. You're not helping middle-class Americans. A lot of these are rich kids who went for a big, you know, degree in some nothingness that they can't earn a living with. And now they're saddled with debt. They don't know what to do. Mommy and daddy cut them out of the trust fund. And now, how are you really helping middle-class Americans? Sure, I guarantee there's some. The only way they could go to school was to borrow the money. Okay. Here's the deal. The government is picking the winners and the losers. Literally. The government is picking. Government should never be in the role of picking winners and losers. Government should provide services to all. It should not say, you know, we like you more than you, so we're giving the first you some stuff. We're going to pay off your debt. But not the other you. You can't have any. You don't rate somehow. So what's happening right now is a student loan bailout is affecting some people. But then there's all the folks like who went into the trades. We can't do without them. We can't do without the folks in the trades. Now, how about the guy? I'll use this example before. How about the guy who works hard to get his certification as an electrician? He's a journeyman. And he decides he wants to branch out and start his own company. He borrows $50,000, and he goes and starts his own company. Are we paying back his $50,000 loan to be productive? But yet, you got the kid who thought it'd be a cool thing to get the liberal arts degree or the theater degree or the underwater basket weaving degree, or as somebody else said on one of our text strings earlier, the rubber band ball making degree. Making no money, can't pay the bill, so we pay off theirs. I don't get it. The government should not be in the habit of picking winners and losers. All they're doing, though, is trying to buy some friends. Well, there are attempts right now to block this, just so you know. And so far, no good. I do believe we're going to wind up seeing it stopped, but right now the Supreme Court and the federal courts are rejecting the claims, mostly on the basis of standing. So National Review has a piece that came out yesterday afternoon. Justice Amy Coney Barrett on Thursday rejected an emergency request by a group of Wisconsin taxpayers to block the enforcement of President Biden's student loan forgiveness. Barrett, who typically fields the emergency bids from Wisconsin, acted alone without referring the case to the rest of the Supreme Court bench or seeking a response from the government. On Wednesday, the plaintiffs challenging Biden's student debt wipeout, which would effectively erase up to $10,000 in loans for graduates who earn less than $125,000 a year, filed an emergency petition to stop the government from implementing the plan. And basically, Amy Coney Barrett's one-line decision, it says, preserves the lower court's judgment that the group lacked the standing to sue. If you're not familiar, basically, standing in the legal parlance means you are the one who could suffer damages, therefore you now have standing to file suit on the issue. They're saying these plaintiffs have not been affected. I think their standing, what they claimed their standing was they are taxpayers. They are, at some point, impacted by this. Okay, next case. Associated Press reports as of yesterday afternoon, in another case, a federal judge in St. Louis on Thursday dismissed an effort by six Republican-led states to block the Biden administration's plan to forgive student loan. These are states acting. In this case, it says U.S. District Judge Henry Autry wrote that because the six states, Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, South Carolina, failed to establish they had standing, that the court lacks jurisdiction, they do say they're going to appeal. All right, so two of the cases trying to stop Biden from running down this road of spending $400 billion to pick winners and losers on who gets to have their student loans wiped out for no other reason except it's hard. I signed up for that contract. It's hard. Well, all right. So far, the first two cases have been rejected by the courts. It doesn't mean we're out. It just means we got to have a case in which the courts cannot deny standing. All right. Here's the thing. One of the arguments is that higher ed bears some responsibility. Now, this is a little bit of a mixed bag. Go with me. I pulled this one off of a website called the Hecking Report. Heckinger Report, I'm sorry. It says, the unasked questions about the student loan bailout, what's a college's responsibility? And it points out in here, it says, the colleges and universities have largely escaped scrutiny over why so many Americans have so much debt from educations that often took longer and cost more than expected and led to jobs that didn't pay enough to cover their loans or never even finished a degree at all. It says, you as a college or university should have responsibility for that, said one activist named Claudio Martinez. Republicans and Democrats alike over the last 7 years have called for colleges and universities to assume some accountability. They call it risk sharing or having skin in the game for students who default on their loans. Okay, I don't know that I agree with this. You have to have privity of contract. I mean, how can you look at a auto manufacturer and say, because someone took out a loan to purchase that vehicle you made and they didn't pay it off, should the auto manufacturer pay for that? I don't think so. Now, what I do think is happening is you're seeing the exorbitant cost of education rising because the colleges realize, man, all they got to do is get one of those low-interest student loans, and they can pay for it. So just raise the rates and get them to pay more. Heck, why not? Let's just put it out of reach so that they have to get a student loan. That's what we'll do. We'll raise tuition rates. That way, they almost all assuredly have to borrow money. Then because they borrowed money, it's not like they're going out of pocket, so we can now raise the rates. They'll still pay it. It'll be great. Well, I think that needs to be looked at. I do. I don't agree with the idea that we ought to make colleges be like some type of a guarantor of the loan. I don't think we can do that. I don't think that's ethical. I think that flies in the face of contract law. I think you have to have true privity of contract. You have to have been willing to sign on as a guarantor. And if you're not going to sign on as a guarantor, why should you then be held accountable as a guarantor? That can't work that way. You can't mandate that someone else pay for someone else's wrongs. Although, technically, now that I've said that out loud, I think Biden's demanding that all the taxpayers pay it. Yeah, thank you, Boomer. I couldn't finish my sentence. But here's the thing. What I do think they can do, what I do think universities can do, aside from having to justify the exorbitant cost of education, the tuition rates that are soaring, what I do think they can do is be required to certify that the student is enrolling in a program that studies have shown will lead to gainful employment. Now, the gainful employment rule, colleges don't like that. They don't want to have to justify it. They want everybody to buy tuition to pay the tuition for classes that otherwise have no meaning. I mean, when woke universities want to teach classes on white privilege, they want somebody's student loan to pay for it. But if you can't justify getting a job as a BLM activist after you graduate, then why should you borrow money to take classes on white privilege? I do think there needs to be some standard, like, these are the industries which are deemed to be productive. You can have a student loan at this rate, or you can have this amount of a student loan. But if you're looking for the underwater basket weaving or the BLM activist degree or something like that, why give them a loan in the first place? The colleges should certify that they have conducted the necessary research to indicate that in the field in which the student is, you know, studying to enter into, that it's worth taking out a loan. Just a thought. As it stands right now, it says universities and colleges face no accountability unless 30% or more default over the three consecutive. Well, that's a different topic altogether. The bottom line is this. You can't just make a college pay for somebody's bad decision-making. But the colleges can bear some responsibility for how much they charge, and the colleges can bear some responsibility for the fact that they are fueling the idea of getting a loan for anything. When you and I both know, you don't go out and ask the bank to get a loan for anything. You usually have to justify your borrowing. And they need to do that. All right, let's take a break, Boomer. We'll go right now. We'll come back in a minute. We'll wrap up the day. It's Friday afternoon. You want to call in? I got time for one or two. 833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone call. 833-687-4448. Text or call. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Ah, good bump music, man. Don't look back. That's a good way to – don't look back as we head into the weekend. Just go there. Just get to the weekend. Hey, listen, the text messages came in. Sheila from Madison, I think it's the same Sheila who called in a little while ago. She says, the student loan business isn't about helping someone get a better life. It's about making money for the lenders. I agree with that. And the government is a part of the problem. They start pushing student loans on high school kids. Alabama Board of Education requires students to fill out the FAFSA form in order to get high school diploma as of 2 years ago. I'm not familiar with that, but I need to look that up. But the FAFSA form is the Federal Assistance or Federal Application for Student Loans or Student Assistance form. So I'm curious why they make students get it to get a high school diploma. Sheila, if you've got any insight on that, let me know. I'd like to know more. New on the text line, Tara is texted in. Thank you for that. Jason from Huntsville, I can't say it the way you said it in the text, Jason. You got to keep it clean, brother. But he says, don't forget, and he's talking about President Biden, you get a bailout, you're going to get a 1099, which means it's a windfall of cash. It's income. He says, I guarantee that 1099 will put some of these middle-class people, quote-unquote, into a different tax bracket. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that, Boomer, but, you know, when you get something that pays off a debt, it's considered windfall income, and suddenly it's taxable, you know, to your base.
Right. So then they're actually paying taxes on...
Yeah. Hey, we're going to give you money, and then we're going to take some of that money back in the form of taxes. This will be great. Stand by. Here it comes. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Hang on a second. Somebody, see if you can figure out what's going on with Tara's text there, Boomer. I'm not sure what's happening right there. But anyway, we got two names on it now. I'm not sure what they're saying. Well, listen, it's been some more kind of a full week. Now, next week, we got some stuff laid on for you. I can just tell you right now, we've got scheduled interviews with Katie Britt running for U.S. Senate. We've got another scheduled interview with Senator Tommy Tuberville. We've also got an amazing interview that I'm looking forward to on Thursday with an organization called Sleep and Heavenly Peace, which you think, okay, what do they do? Well, it's really interesting to find out how many kids grow up don't even have a bed to sleep on. And so this ministry right here in Alabama is changing people's lives by literally going into the homes and bringing a bed to kids. And they talk about some of the emotional reactions they get out of the families that literally their kid gets to not have to sleep on the living room couch or that gets to get up off the floor for that matter. And anyway, we're going to talk to them on Thursday. So great stuff laid on for next week, a very full week. And we look forward to seeing some of that come to be. And Leanne Huntsville from Huntsville says, Katie Britt, wow, finally. Yeah, I know. I mean, she hadn't been on in a while, but I think we had her on the show like back when her campaign first started. But anyway, she'll be here next week in studio, I believe, Boomer. So we'll have the live interview with what I'm sure is going to be the next U.S. Senator from Alabama. All right, man. Well, listen, you heading down to the game tomorrow. What's your plan?
Nah, not going to the game tomorrow.
You guys got soccer this time?
Got soccer this weekend, so we're going to get ready for that soccer game.
And your grandparents just moved. So
grandparents just moved here from Oregon, get out of that state. Let me rephrase that. They were near Portland, so
okay.
get out of that state because of Portland.
Yeah.
I love Oregon. It's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful state.
It's absolutely, the Pacific Northwest is gorgeous overall, but the politics on the leftmost coast of the Pacific Northwest states is unbelievably left, like as left as you can get. Speaking of which, our second biggest audience in the podcast still remains California.
Yes, it is.
And California, we love you. And we appreciate you. Boomer, what are we up to right now as we close out the show? Can you get to the podcast? Or can you see it real quick?
Give me 1 second.
All right, he's getting there. Folks, this thing just continues to grow. And
87,100.
Dude, it went up a ton just today.
Yes, it did.
Oh, okay. We're going to see 100,000. I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
We're going to order T-shirts.
Who doesn't?
All right. I hear the music playing. That means the weekend is here. Folks, listen, you have an amazing weekend. Be safe. Be back here on Monday at 2 o'clock. Boomer and I will. Right Side Radio. We'll see you then.